Well, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We're going to look today about always being thankful. Psalm 100. We see here in verse 1, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." Have you noticed how weird things happen at your family Thanksgiving dinner? Every family has crazy. Sometimes your family members invite crazy. I was reading the other day about a man named Doug Barnes. He was celebrating Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving dinner in the home of some friends. As they were eating their meal, he looked at the centerpiece and he complimented the vase and the arrangement that surrounded the vase. And when he did, the hostess said, "Well, no, that's not a vase, that's an urn. Grandmother comes to all of our holiday meals. You can taste that." 1789, George Washington issued this proclamation by the President of the United States. A proclamation, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Whereas both houses of Congress," did you hear that? That's historic. "Both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted to the people of these states, to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, that will be." So that was the first Thanksgiving proclamation read in the United States. This week we're going to pause once again to give thanks for the blessings God's bestowed upon us as believers and as a nation. We would think when we look back on the history of our forefathers, there would be increasing gratefulness practiced by the people of the United States. However, it seems the more affluent we become, the less thankful we are. We celebrate Thanksgiving in order to remember the one who is the source of all of our blessings. If you look at verses 1 through 5, in each of those verses, you'll see the name Lord. We give thanks to the Lord. First thing I want you to notice there is we ought to offer public praise to the Lord in verses 1 and 2. In the Hebrew way of expressing appreciation to the Lord, it was never enough to thank God privately and quietly. They believed in getting together publicly, corporately, to express appreciation to the Lord. Now, how do we express our appreciation? First, he says here that we're to shout to the Lord. The literal rendering of that phrase is to shout in triumph or to applaud. It's the applause that you would give for a dignitary who was walking into the room. He says we should cheer for our God. We don't have any problems on Saturdays getting on our cheers for our favorite college football team. You ever go to a football game and you watch the people out there, even during the warm-ups, they might cheer or a punt or a place kick or a pass or somebody running down the field. Then the cheerleaders always put up some very thin paper, make a banner, and all of a sudden the football team breaks out of the locker room and they burst through that banner. And everybody is to their feet, and they're cheering for their favorite football team. Here it says that we're to shout to the Lord with the force of the trumpet blast. He says here that our praise should come from the very depths of our being. I was reading the other day a survey taken by several housewives and asked what they were thankful for on Thanksgiving Day. And one of them said, "I'm thankful for a dishwasher. It makes the whole thing possible." Another one said, I just love to be able to get out of the kitchen after Thanksgiving lunch before the family's coming back in to get their after meal snacks. Another one says, "I'm thankful for husbands who always get involved in a small house repair before guests arrive. And finally, it is a big project and we have to call professionals." Some of you know about that. I remember several years ago, my sister doesn't cook much, but when she was on the road with a major drug company, she was having a lot of guests over. So on Thanksgiving morning, they turned on their oven and it didn't work. So they had to call in an electrician, an appliance repairman on Thanksgiving Day. And so when he came in, he said, "When was the last time that you used this oven?" She said, "Last Thanksgiving." So they knew it had been out for a whole year. Some people said they're thankful for teenagers at the Thanksgiving table because they teach adults a second language. And then another lady said she was thankful for smoke alarms because it lets you know when the turkey is done. The word joyful is an expression of happiness, a feeling of exuberance. 7 times in the book of Psalms, we're commanded to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He says here, "From the depths of your being, shout your joy unto the Lord, not unto man." It doesn't mean to scream, but it does mean that we're to worship and to be vocal and expressive. Worship that God wants is joyful, and when we're joyful, we tend to be vocal. Simply put, the main emphasis here is not on being loud, but on being joyful. There's nothing more healthy for the soul and more cleansing for the mind, and nothing that makes a human being happier than to utterly and completely praise God. Ray Stedman tells of an experience he had with the great preacher H.A. Ironside in a crowded restaurant. Ironside, that said, he went in one day to eat at a restaurant, have lunch by himself. All of a sudden, a total stranger walked up to Ironside and said, "I'm eating by myself." The man says, "All right, if I eat with you?" He said, "Well, yeah, have a seat." "So I want you to know, when the food came," Ironside bowed his head. He just prayed silently. The stranger looked at him and said, "Do you have a headache?" He said, "No." Ironside said, "I don't have a headache." He said, "Well, I saw you bowing your head. You look like you're in pain." He said, "No." He said, "I'm not in pain." He said, "I always bow and give thanks to God for my food." The other man said, "Well, I don't ever do that." He said, "I want you to know I work and I make the money by the sweat of my brow." And he said, "I want you to know that I just don't ever bow my head and pray before I eat." And Ironside said, "Yes, you're just like my dog. That's the way he does it too." Serve the Lord with gladness, verse 2. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. This word means to labor as tilling the soil. That word gladness there means to have a cheerful, happy disposition in nature, pleased and satisfied. This also tells us the highest form of praise is service. In fact, the Hebrew word for worship there can actually be translated serve. Thanksgiving is not just about lip service. It's about serving in ministry involved in kingdom work. Thanksgiving is not just about service. It's about being glad in service. Several years ago, it's been over 20 years ago, we remember that the National Prayer Breakfast, there was a lady there named Mother Teresa. And she shared her testimony. And when she was there, she said that she and some of her workers were serving and they saw 4 homeless people. And so she said, "I told my team to take the 3 that seemed to be in the best health, and one of them seemed to be critically ill." She said, "I'll take that lady by myself." So I want you to know Mother Teresa took her back to her home. And when she took her in, she was trying to get her into bed. And she said, I want you to know when I got her into bed, she said that homeless lady looked up at me and said, thank you, and smiled and closed her eyes and died. Mother Teresa, in her testimony at the National Prayer Breakfast, said this, I asked myself what I would say if I were in her place. I would have tried to draw a little attention to myself. I would have said, I'm hungry, I'm dying, I'm in pain. But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love, and she died with a smile on her face. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. And then in verse 2, in the last part, it says we're to sing unto the Lord. You know, I don't sing very well. I've sung for you before, and some of you started looking around and see if there were doors underneath these exit signs. I wouldn't blame you. Now, if you're next to me and you can carry a tune, I can kind of jump in there somewhere and ride two or three notes, but I tend to change keys. I don't know when I do it. I just do it. And you know, we give you an opportunity here. If you like traditional music, we give it to you. We give you the words on the screen. If you want the contemporary, you can just go over to the dark side there in the gym. And we've got a praise band for you over there. See, those are things you probably listen to on your podcast. Those are things that you probably listen to on the radio when you're listening to Moody Channel or something else. So that's wonderful. And by the way, I want all of you to know this and get the word out. We have some excellent people who play over there in the praise band and over here in the worship center with our orchestra and our accompanists. Got great voices. But I want you to know at 4 o'clock Friday morning, somebody broke out one of the doors, the windows and the doors at the end of the Family Life Center. They went back to their car and they waited almost an hour to see if the burglar alarm would go off. We didn't have a glass break alarm over there. We do have an alarm system. There was not a motion detector, but we have cameras. And we know that there were three of them. They came back an hour later when the alarm didn't go off. And they went in through the glass break. They knew exactly what they were doing. They stole Zach's and Wes' guitars. Thousands of dollars worth of instruments. This morning we've discovered there's some sound equipment missing. And we see where they walked all the way through the new building. Had they come into this building, the alarms would have gone off. And we hope to, by tomorrow, guess what? We're going to be ready. But guess what? They're going to be back. And you know what we think? Because they went straight to what they wanted. They've been to a worship service here on Sundays or Wednesdays. And you know what? I hope they get caught. We got a great video. The other thing, I hope they get convicted. I hope they serve time. And I hope while they're in there, through our jail ministry, we can reach them for Christ. But you know what else? They're going to stand before Almighty God for tampering with His possessions. We provide all that so that you can sing praise to the Lord. You know what? When you stand and you don't sing a word, when there are people who are guests or there are people there who are lost, and they look at you standing there, not even moving your lips, they think how unimportant this service really is in the big picture of things in their lives. I don't know the contemporary songs, but I'll get over there and look at the screen and I'll move my mouth and I'll read those words just as quickly as I can. How much do you praise? How much do you sing to the Lord? This week I was complimented and insulted at the same time. I'm getting used to that. The older I am, I can take it. I walked into Chick-fil-A and I went to the walk-up counter. I was going to get my Chick-fil-A fix. eat there in the self-serve area and get out quick. Well, while I was standing at the counter and I was being served, somebody said, Hey, Dr. May. And I looked to my side and there was a lady at the checkout. She was the cashier in the full service area. She said, "You Dr. May from Pleasant Valley South?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'm getting my order in." She said, "I bet you don't remember me." I said, "No, ma'am, I really don't." She said, "I'm Sister Elaine." She said, "I used to come to your musicals at your church." I said, "Stop right there." I said, "You the tambourine lady." I hadn't seen her in 10 years. Now, I want to tell you what she did. She said, "Dr. May, I almost didn't recognize you." She said, "What happened to you?" She says, "You've matured so much." Well, I didn't bother to tell her she had less hair than the last time I saw her either. I want you to know I was nice. I said, "Sister Elaine, I haven't seen you in over 10 years. Some of you who don't know this, when you're here, up to about 10 years ago, Sister Elaine would come. She'd sit over here about halfway back or right over here. And she always brought a big tambourine." Now, the people that didn't like that were the people who sat directly in front of her, because she had bust that thing behind her head. And I can remember she would come down the aisle and right in the middle of a choir special, and she'd get down here. She just had her praise on. She'd just have a fit right there in our service. And she'd sing every word of those songs with the choir. Let me ask you, do you sing to the Lord? Then purposeful appreciation to God is in verse 4. Notice what he says, we're to enter his gates. You know, all Old Testament saints were required to go to the house of God, because in the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of the Lord. When we get saved, we're immediately baptized in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up his dwelling within us, but we find in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The command to enter his gates is the same today as it was then. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Do you know how hard it is to get people to come to church now? Very, very difficult. I was reading the other day, a man named Arthur Boers wrote a book called The Other Side. And he said he often visits in the homes of newcomers to his community. And those that are interested in a church, he says they're church shopping. And what they want, he said, "I want you to know that what they want is like shopping for a consumer commodity." He says they want inspired preaching. They want good music. They want the best children's and youth ministry, but they don't really want to get involved. "I want to go there for what the church can do for me." Listen very carefully. We're to enter into the sanctuary to worship. And I told you the Hebrew word for worship is one that means to serve. Then he says we're to enter with thanksgiving. He says, "I'll praise the name of God with a song, and I'll magnify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 69, verse 30. You know, we used to sing a little song, and I'm going to rap it to you today because you don't want to hear me sing. It's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's just something about that name. Isn't there something precious about the name of Jesus? The psalmist said, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." The Hebrew word here, bless, means to kneel down as an act of adoration. Why are we to bless his name? Look at verse 5 in the very last part. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Look at three things right there. It says, for the Lord is good. The Old Testament word here conveys the idea of beautiful, best, the one who is bountiful, cheerful, joyful, kind, loving, merry, most pleasant and precious. Notice the second thing there, His mercy is everlasting. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. I'm so glad for the mercy of God. If it were not for His mercy, I wouldn't be standing here today. If it were not for God's mercy, you wouldn't be seated where you are today. I am saved, sanctified, and called. Paul said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And notice what else it says there. The third thing, the truth endures to all generations, from generation to generation. In other words, man's hope is found in God's promises. And it's our responsibility to pass this truth to the next generation. Let me issue you a challenge and let you see how that is not being done in mass in our nation. If you get asked to speak somewhere outside the church walls, use a very, very familiar text and ask the people in that crowd outside the church to quote that scripture as you lead them. About 1% will know the familiar passage of scripture. Do you know why? Because we're not teaching the Word of God in our homes. And so many of our churches are not teaching the Word of God in their churches. The psalmist said, be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. You know, that sounds like something that I read. If you got your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse 13. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. This is what goes on in heaven. Revelation 5:13 says that I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them say, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. You might as well get ready, folks, and rehearse down here, because this is what we're going to be doing in heaven, is giving praise and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today, if I had a basketball in my hand, if I bought it from Walmart, it'd be worth about $19. But if I had Michael Jordan up here with a basketball in his hand, that basketball would be worth about $33 million. Some of you played with me before, played golf with me before, and you know that a golf club in my hand is worthless. I heard an amen way over there in the seeker section. I watched some of those people in the seeker section way over to my right hand. They always get to lunch first. Have you noticed that? But you know, if you put this golf club, a lefty golf club, in the hands of Phil Mickelson, with his annual winnings and his endorsements, his sponsorship, it's worth about $50 million a year. Isn't that amazing? I had somebody look this up for me this morning. You know, this football is what I bought to take with me to do my mentoring at Pepperell Elementary. I mean, sometimes you get, what are you laughing at? You have not seen my pro form? I will not throw this football. I learned that years ago. I nearly killed a senior adult on the next to the back row. But I want you to know that this same, a football like this in the hands of Peyton Manning, how much is that worth? In March of 2012, he signed his new contract for $96 million. Now, I want you to know, in 2015, this is true, Peyton Manning voluntarily gave a pay cut concession for himself so his team could sign some more free agents. He was supposed to receive $15 million this year, but instead he told his team, the owners, he said, "How about cut my pay $4 million so you can hire more quality players? I can't wait till my salary is that high. And I can come before you and say, cut my salary $4 million so we can hire more staff and replace the guitars the thieves in Silver Creek took from us." You know, if I had a slingshot in my hand, it'd be worth about $6 if I bought it from Walmart. But when David had a slingshot in his hand in the Old Testament, man, he killed a giant, led to the defeat of the Philistines. You know, something else I was thinking about, you can take two sardines and five loaves of bread from Kroger. That's probably going to be worth about $5.50. But you put it in the hand of a little boy and you give it to Jesus. Two sardines and five loaves fed up to 12,000 people in one day. I got thinking about something else. My dad was a great, great carpenter. And I usually swept up the sawdust. None of that stuck with me. You know, here's a handful of nails. I remember when we used to go to the hardware store, Dad would go and they had big round nail bins. Do you remember that? And they were in sections according to their size. And we bought nails in little brown paper sacks. And we bought them by the pound. Anybody remember that? I've got some nails in my hand. You know what I could do with these nails? If somebody cut out the wood, I could probably nail together a bird box. But you know what? You put nails in the hands of Jesus, and those nails were used to help purchase our salvation. And if you're here today and you're born again, you're a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're extremely, extremely valuable. But all the praise, glory, and thanksgiving goes to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not on Thursday, on every day that we have life and we have breath. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.